This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a
non-movement
movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so
it's more
fitness,
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Coming at you from England town. You hear Jake and Amir. Sick as a deer, this noise in your ear is ringing loud and clear. If I were you, doobie-doobie-doo, I'd paint myself blue, and that's not a load of glue. If I were you, show@gmail.com.
Whoa.
I loved how strange that was.
That was a little too bizarre for me.
That reminded me of like early Flight of the Conchords or something.
Oh, yeah, it's true. They're actually a band from Canterbury, UK. Yes, Canterbury Tales and all that shiatsu, called Burn the Arson, a long-term project fusing metal and hip-hop elements.
Burn the Arson.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's how fucking rock star they are. That's why when I play that song, I feel scared.
You are scared?
And I'm ashamed.
You are all, so you're the two feelings you feel right now are scared and ashamed.
Yeah, I'm fearful and embarrassed of me.
Wow.
I don't want to be hurt.
I'm timid and frightened.
That one's from Josh and Josh. So thanks, Josh and Josh and Burn the Arson. We're back from Austin. This is our first day back after Texas, after Canada.
Yeah.
Canada shows were insane. South by Southwest, Austin, Texas. Our shows there were crazy. I shouldn't say just you, but I also had a lot of late nights. But you had later nights.
I did. I mean, and
would you say you went too hard or just hard enough?
I think I went, I guess, that's a good question.
Like, do you have any regrets about how hard you went?
No, there was never a day, and I've had other days on the road where I woke up and I was like, oh no, today is now gone.
Right.
You know, like,
you never lost a day.
I never lost a day. I was always up by, you know, mid, late morning.
Yeah.
And I was always ready to go that next night.
Did you ever feel incredibly hungover, or were you all just kind of like just a constant state of being hungover?
I think the worst was the night after our show. I woke up and I was like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. I'm so hungover and drunk still.
Oh.
But then I got out of bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, we partied until 5:30. And then somebody, I think it was Whitney, reminded me that it was daylight savings time. And I was like, oh, I only party till 4:30. And I instantly felt better. And I was like, all right, that's not as bad. That's not as bad as I thought.
Right. You got an hour of leeway back.
Yeah. So.
And then did you feel less hungover just because of that
just,
last
yeah. hour? Yeah. instantaneous, less hungover. It was like relief for some reason. But I did drink every single night, which last
starting
night
in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Last night was the first night that I didn't drink at all.
And?
Just amazing. It's just amazing.
So you basically went out so hard that you feel now you don't miss the alcohol. You're like, I can't wait to not drink for several weeks.
Yeah, I don't even want to go out this weekend.
Oh, you want to just fucking Netflix and chill.
Saturday night, I'll want to go out.
Yeah, obviously. But, I mean,
that's right Saturday. Now, I don't. It's nice to like not change yourself, you know?
And what about diet? Did you go any diet or did you say, fuck it, this is a cheat week?
I was still dieting when we were in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Austin, I was like keeping it kind. No, in Austin, I didn't like gorge myself, but I didn't really pay attention to my diet.
Right.
But like on the road in Canada, I hit the gym one day. We were walking around. Canada felt like relatively healthy.
Tame. Yeah. And we didn't like get super, super drunk.
Yeah. We just get a drink or two after the shows with Thomas. What about you?
I was feeling kind of sick, so I never stayed out super late. So while everyone like at 1 a.m. when everyone's like, let's try to find that last bar, I would just go home.
That it was every night in Austin too?
Yes, in Austin. The worst I felt was the night of our show.
Yeah, I remember we were in the green room.
Yeah.
And you just like, there was just like plastic folding chairs in there. No couch, no nice anything.
Yeah.
And you came in, you opened up three plastic folding chairs and you lied down.
Across like, three.
Just a little rest.
Yeah, I have to let my body not do anything.
And I was like, oh no, we're fucked.
We're on at 30, everyone. Yeah, look alive, people.
Oh man.
Fortunately, the energy of the crowd got me going.
Yeah, you rallied.
But that just meant I collapsed even harder the next day.
And how do you feel right now?
95%, yes. So almost completely healed.
That's really good.
Just enough time to fly to the Middle East tomorrow.
Right. Why not?
But enough recap. This is about looking forward. This is an advice show, obviously a podcast about.
Well, we should say thank you to everybody that came to the show.
Well, fuck them. They already bought the tickets. They're a sunk cost.
You're such a piece of shit.
Sorry. I didn't even think about
this. This is why you hemorrhage fans. You yelled this in Calgary, too.
Everybody who bought a ticket, raise your hand. That should be all of you, right?
Yeah.
And you're useless to me.
Starting now, you can go home because I already get the cash.
You jackass. No, all the shows were great.
Yeah.
Every show.
And you guys are great for coming. Thank you. Anyway.
This is an advice show, a podcast called If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. Once again, I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
And we got some questions to answer. I should say we're going to try to release maybe even all the live shows because I don't know if we announced it on this show, but we had a special guest, Thomas Middleditch, join us for all three.
That was very, very
Canada
awesome.
Shows.
Yep.
So he came out in Winnipeg. Nobody knew he was coming. They went nuts for the guy.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe he was there.
In Calgary, maybe they thought it, but they didn't think it could their dreams come true, and then they did. And Vancouver, everyone expected it.
They were used to it, and they booed him.
Yeah, he came out, you could hear a pin drop.
It was abject silence. I couldn't stress how silent it was in that theater when Thomas debuted himself.
He came out, he did Dubs. He
That's
was real
right.
Dubs.
He did such a good job that I feel bad not releasing any of the episodes. Some will be regular episodes. Maybe some will be bonus Thursday. Maybe we'll space them out. I don't know what we're going to do. But they're all nicely recorded shows, and they're all super funny because Thomas was super funny in them.
Yes.
Whenever I was ready to move on to a next question, he was like, no, let's squeeze some more comedy out of this thing. He would start a new bit.
Yeah.
He would just try to answer the questions. So you can really tell. That,
and you guys, they came to the show, you got it, but you also didn't get to travel with them for 3 days.
Yeah.
I was laughing nonstop.
It's not like he's, I feel like with us, we kind of perform on stage and then off stage, we're not necessarily performing that much.
Yeah.
He's like constantly funny all the time.
Yeah.
Just like instant, like we're on an airplane and he just turns around and is a different guy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm glad he likes it because we like it. It doesn't seem like he's doing it annoyingly. Like, he seems to enjoy the just turning into a new character every hour or two himself.
And he can just, like, summon them from nowhere and have, like, the vocabulary for a character and have the accent for a character.
Yeah. During the show, I'm like, can you do a German? Yeah. Can you do Australian? Yes. Can you do stoner? Yes. Girl? Yes. Anything. Like, he can't not do anything in terms of characters.
He was he would just be like, oh, is he a positive guy?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, he is. And then it's just like positive German 21-year-old stealing. Well, you'll see.
All right. No spoilers. Let's try to answer some questions here. Some good ones that we didn't get to on the road.
Oh, shit.
Let's see. I sent you some. All right. Here's one. This one's called Me, Myself, and Prostitutes.
Okay.
We'll call this man Donald Logue.
Why?
Because it's almost an actor's name, but not.
All right.
Donald Logue writes, I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm in the market for an escort. I'm a single guy, early 20s, and I'm seizing the cheese with ladies left, right, and center. However, I've got some cash to splash at the moment, and it's been on my bucket list to spend a night with a high-class escort. And I mean high class. I can afford to spend around $1,000 to $2,000 on a one-time fling because I've saved up the money and I'm looking to have a night where I get everything I want from a girl. A long, deep throat blowjob.
Oh, God.
Anal. And fuck it. A massage, too. I'm paying for it. The only problem is I don't know where to go shopping for an escort. I want to guarantee that she will be good looking and match her photos, that she will be able to fulfill my sexual desires to porn star standard. I'll pay whatever she demands as long as she doesn't disappoint. And C, make me feel like my money was well spent and not leave me wishing for more. If you had the cash to splash and the morals that I do,
yeah.
How do you go about finding a reliable, beautiful one-time escort who wouldn't blow my money? No pun intended. Appreciate the help. Ta-da. Love, ta-da. Donald Logue.
No da.
Yeah. What do you think?
I just rattle off a whole bunch of names of escort sites.
So you want to go online, obviously. There are few good ones are. Just look at the Yelp reviews. Have you ever even looked into such a thing? Do you even know where to start?
I wouldn't know where to start.
It's kind of sad that he's so shameless and like optimistic and positive about how much of a kind of loser he is.
Yeah, the expectation.
Yeah, as long as she fulfills my needs.
Hell, I'm paying for it. You can't get a girl to give you a massage.
No.
You can't just find somebody that likes you enough.
I'm a bad person and I'll need to spend $2,000 not on a nice laptop, but on a throaty-ass bloge.
To porn star standards.
What are porn star standards?
I don't know, but can you imagine someone's blowing you and you're just holding up a video of Jenna Jameson? Like, more like this, Cheryl.
Yeah, I have a feeling that would cost more than $1,000, but I guess I don't know what the going rate is. That being said, I also don't think you get to pay depending on how good or bad the service was. It seems like more of an upfront cost to me.
Yeah. I think that it's a slippery slope to go to be like, I have $2,000 and I want all of my fantasies fulfilled for the night.
Yeah.
It's like
Why don't you start with the massage? Because one of the three things was just a massage. I'm sure you can get a really nice massage for a couple $100.
Yeah. I think you just need to change your attitude and get a girlfriend.
Yeah, so
because like all this stuff is happens when you also when you like fall in love with somebody, like you could say, "Hey, I have fantasies. Do you have fantasies? Let's fulfill each other's fantasies."
Yeah,
I want
it doesn't
a really
seem like
really long blowjob.
He doesn't. It really needs to be a deep throat long blowjob, as he referenced.
Well, you could find a girlfriend that likes giving and receiving, or just giving oral sex.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he wants to give anything except for cash.
Cash.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to pay it forward. He wants to pay cash backwards.
Right.
I don't know what to tell him. I don't know about be good looking and match her photos. That's out of my pay grade.
I think you just, at the very least, beggars can't be choosers. If you are going to pay a prostitute to fuck you,
yeah,
you've got to like just spend the money and hope for the best.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of people that do this have whatever you're creating in your head of a high-class escort situation, I don't think it's the reality.
Right. And I also think that $1,000 isn't that much in the world of escorts, it seems. It seems he keeps saying, I'll pay whatever she demands. But like, Could you pay $20,000 or could you only pay $900?
Right. $1,000 where you're nickel and diming. Like, can I, fine, throw in a massage. Or is it really going to be another 100?
But I'm not paying for room service.
Will you scratch my back at least? I have to pay. We're not going to split the hotel room?
Yeah, it seems like all the money after the fact is going to have to be added or deducted from a tip. It seems like everything else has to be paid up front.
Right. You're not thinking of all the costs. You got the hotel room. You got Uber there and back. You're going to want champagne in the room. You're going to want the chocolate-covered strawberries.
Yeah, and it feels like anal is going to be the most expensive one.
Yeah.
He wants the most expensive items on the menu. He wants
like
the
a deep-throat blowjob and anal.
Yeah, he wants the truffle oil, and he wants to pay regular prices. It's not going to happen.
No.
So what you got to do is just pay a shitload of money for an awesome massage and then be a better person and find someone who'll give you the rest of the stuff for
free. That's true. You can pay the $2,000 for the best massage of your life, for sure. Yeah. That's a spa day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a spa weekend.
That's right. And then you got the massage part, and then you just have to find someone that likes you enough to give you a long, quote, deep throat blowjob.
What about just if you're straight up like, if this is what you want – what about just like hiring a porn star?
Yeah, why is porn legal and prostitution not?
Like couldn't you just go on? I hate that this is going to like turn into me giving him advice on how to get this. But couldn't you just go on like one of those amateur like porn sites where like the
ladies are willing to do this on camera for money?
Right, where like the model, the porn agency people, you go to the agent, you're like, hey, yeah, I want to hire this new person who you guys are saying is ready to do porn.
Right, for an amateur thing.
Right, and it's going to be on my website.
Twitter.com / Donald.
I'll give her $2,000 and we'll shoot a scene. And then you don't have to ever do it.
Yeah, we ended up not releasing the footage because, I don't know, the audio was corrupt or some shit.
Right.
That's
good advice for what you want.
Good advice for a bad question.
But I still think you're a bad guy.
All right. Let's see what else. Here's a different, more kind of sweet question. We'll call this guy Donald Logue.
Why?
Because it sounds like Donald Logue, but it has to be just a little bit different. Donald writes, my name's John, short for Donald. Nice. Hey buddies, I can really use some advice right now. I'm currently living with my girlfriend of 2 years, who I cherish and adore more than anything. See?
Nice.
She's already feeling better.
This is great.
However, recently, she has been acting a little bit like a controlling bitch.
Oh, God damn it. Really?
It lasted one sentence. Here's the story. Oftentimes when I sleep, I wake up with a sore back. However, recently I realized when I squeeze a pillow tightly between my knees while I'm trying to fall asleep, I will wake up in the morning with no back pain. I know it's weird, but hey, it works. Anyway, I use the same pillow when I do this since I feel like I have formed a bond with this cushion. I've started to call this pillow Grandpa Kenneth. Grandpa, for short. It's the name of my grandfather who passed away a year ago. While he was alive, we were really close, and I miss him. And for some reason, my girlfriend hates that I've chosen this name for my pillow. She doesn't think that the pillow that should have a name at all, let alone one named after my grandfather. It makes her nauseous to think that I would denote an item that I leg squeeze on a nightly basis to a relative. She thinks that it's a weird sexual thing, but I honestly just miss my grandfather. And I know it's stupid, but having this pillow with his name makes me feel a little bit better, like he's still around. Anyway, what would you guys do? What do you think I should do? Keep the name of the pillow? Change its name? Eradicate the idea of a pillow name entirely? Or is there another option? Please help me. Any advice would be more than greatly appreciated. With love.
Wait.
I shouldn't have said his name.
We can't edit it out.
I'm sure his girlfriend knows who we're talking about, though.
Yeah.
There was a question about a crotch pillow named Grandpa Kenneth, but they didn't use your name. Was it you, Donald? I don't know. I think it was just a weird coincidence.
That is so... This is just such an odd question.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you understand the lady's predicament?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that I also sleep with a pillow between my knees.
Oh, really?
And it does help alleviate the back pain. So if anybody out there's got lower back pain, give it a shot.
Interesting. And then do you name it after a late relative?
Well,
And if you did and your girlfriend didn't like it, would you change what you call it?
Well, so I call my pillow Great Aunt Gert, which is my great aunt Gert who passed away.
Got it.
So I can relate to him on that front as well.
And you call it that because the original pillow was just her head.
Jesus Christ, dude.
What?
That's enough. That's absolutely enough. I think it is. Why does he need to say the name of the pillow ever?
You really need the name for the pillow.
He's like, just call it Grandpa Kenneth in your head if you really need to.
Yeah, no, but what are you supposed to say out loud? Has anybody seen my, what, crotch pillow? No, you have to say, anyone seen my grandpa, my sweet Grandpa Kenneth? I sleep with him between my thighs.
I must squeeze you this night, grandfather.
I really need your hair on my thigh hair, grandfather.
I want your cheeks between my knees, Grampy. Grandpappy. Oh,
Papa Ken. Has anyone seen Papa?
Help my ailing back, grandfather.
So would you, even if you didn't understand your girlfriend's annoyance, would you just say, fine, I won't call it that? Or would it piss you off and say, no, I'm not going to change what I call this pillow?
Dig my heels in. You don't understand that I just miss my grandpa? Why don't you just call something else in your house? Call your microwave Grandpa Kenneth.
Oh, that's good. That way Grandpa's warming your heart.
Yeah, warms your, well, and your food.
Yeah, more importantly, warms your food. Your lasagna. And then
or you just say like, or you just name your girlfriend's pillow after some relative of hers that passed away. Mm. Like, why do you think I'm weird for sleeping with Grandpa Kenneth between my legs knees? You're sleeping with great grandmother Esther behind your head.
I've named every piece of furniture. I'm currently sitting on Sydney, my late cousin who passed from tuberculosis in 1912. And you on Arthur. Oh, everything has a name and a soul. Where are you going?
You're drinking from David. That glass represents my baby niece who died in the womb.
An uncle who killed himself in a suicide ward in 1812. You are a little crazy now that I think about it. Don't name furniture after dead relatives. We're on your girlfriend's side.
No, I mean, you could just call... Grandpa Kenneth lives in your heart. That's... You can call the pillow whatever you want. I do believe that. But don't think that just because you named the pillow Grandpa Kenneth, that you're any closer to him than you could be by just thinking about him in any other
capacity,
way, shape, or form.
Yeah. All right. So you're saying change his name or don't change his name or just don't call it the name?
I think there's just not really a reason to fight. Where, like, because now you're turning your girlfriend against your grandfather who you hold so dear.
Mm-hmm.
So you can believe in your heart that this pillow is still your grandpa.
Yes. And then you say, I won't call it that name because I know it offends you in an odd way.
Whisper to your fucking knees in the night, I love you, Grandpa Kenneth.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend's like, what? She's like, nothing!
I was just talking to my knees. Your knees are your niece? My knees! Get off me! You're freaking me out. All right, let's take a break. We'll thank some other sponsors. And then we'll be back with more questions and answer and maybe some unsolicited advice after this.
Yes.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving
most of it yours.
The average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back just in time for some
Unsolicited Advice.
Hell yeah. Just out of curiosity, when you edit the podcast, do you drop that track in or do you just use the audio from of your computer playing into the microphone?
Good question. I drop it in.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's very professional.
I wish I didn't use the one with Mom, I'm Coming, but now it's sort of part of the show.
Yeah.
People even yelled at that at us during the live shows.
They did.
They asked us for some unsolicited advice, and then we had a few super fans yelled at us.
Mom, I'm Coming, yeah. And it didn't make sense to the people who hadn't heard it, but that's fine.
Of course.
Because they shouldn't be at the fucking show. I ride with my day ones, man.
We should say we have yet to announce our New York NYC Podfest show.
Oh, shit. So if you want to come to that show and yell, Mom, I'm Coming at us, that would be great.
I think the only one we have on our schedule right now. It's in New York, New York City, Manhattan. Have we ever done a live show in Manhattan?
Ooh, I don't think that we ever have.
Yeah, it's part of NYC Podfest. So if you go to nycpodfest.com, it'll be on Friday, April 6th at 8:45 p.m.
And there are not a lot of tickets to this show.
Yeah, it's a smaller show and it's a big city, so grab it while you can. Unsolicited advice. I got a good one this week. I really wish I set up the Amazon affiliate link because this one's
another product,
very affordable. You can get it on Amazon.
God damn it!
It's for all the drivers out there. I am unsolicitedly advising you to get the TechMat Air Vent Magnetic Universal Car Mount Holder for smartphones.
Wait, is that's not the iClever?
It's different. It's different than the iClever. The iClever one might work, and I think that's the one you have.
I have the iClever.
Okay, so you can.
So mine is easier to spell and say at least.
Yeah.
What's this one called?
The Tech Mat. Basically, what it is a magnet, and it grips to your air vent or to your CD slot, and you can mount your iPhone or your smartphone, whatever phone you want, while you're driving. I was a little skeptical about magnet technology at first because I thought it wouldn't be very good. I was one of those idiots that had like one of those sticky dashboard mounts for a little bit, but it kept falling because it was too hot.
Yeah.
Or it couldn't support the weight of the phone. So I looked into it and I got the magnet one. It's the clip itself is just a magnet. So it just, you clip it onto your air conditioner vent, and then the magnet goes in between your phone and your case. So you never even see the magnet. It just sticks to this thing pretty much invisibly. And yeah. It's not only a game changer for me, but it only costs $8.
Hey, I just looked up yours, and yeah, there are... truly the exact same thing.
Okay, great. So it's a car mount for your car phone. It's only $8 and it changed the game. I no longer have to deal with, like, you know, hand holding or doing whatever. You get a little charger so you can charge while you drive. And then there's no like setup time or like you're putting it into a mount that you have to stretch and then clip in and then hopefully it doesn't fall. It's kind of like a magic little magnet. You just like, it sticks to this thing and then you can drive.
Yeah, I got the same thing and I love it as well.
So that's my piece of
advice. Who got it first?
I want to say me.
You're right.
So that was a trivia question of sorts.
Yes.
And?
You are correct. Yeah, you got it first. And then I finally bit the bullet.
It was kind of like nerdy or whatever because yeah, you're a little afraid of getting it at first.
I don't like buying accessories for my car. I like having it nice and clean.
Yeah. But
this one, it keeps it, it's actually cleaner than when I used to just put my phone in my cup holder and look down at maps and like sort of have to bend my head down to see and I would, it was dangerous.
Yeah.
This is better.
So get one of those, especially if you just got a new car and you don't know how to mount your phone yet. Magnet.
20 more minutes.
Whoa! We have crazy. To stop hanging out together.
Totally.
All right. Next question?
Yes.
Here's one from a guy we'll call Fat Dit.
Why? I hate to question every name you've come up with today.
Because he's not quite a fat zit, but he's very close.
All right.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm in a bit of a sticky situation. So, as a single dude, I frequently use Tinder, and I personally think I'm a pretty attractive man. However, I only have average success, and that got me thinking, would I have more success with guys? So, of course, I set my match preferences to guys, and it immediately blows up. I'm constantly getting matched and messaged. So after my experiment, I decided to delete my Tinder, but right before I do, I get one more message, and it's from someone I know from my circle of friends. I quickly delete the account, but now I'm scared it's going to get out that I'm a homosexual. Should I bring it up to my friends or just wait it out and see what happens?
Ooh.
This is the 2018 equivalent of, I was just at a gay bar for fun or accidentally, and I saw someone from my work, and it's like, whoa, I didn't know that it was a gay bar, but I'm there. So what should he do? What would you do? Would you be freaking out?
Well, you
would
you not see care? I feel like I really wish you just had the courage to see what the message said.
Yeah, I'm sure it just said like, hey or hi or I had no idea you were gay, but now I do.
Right, and I'm going to tell everyone.
Yeah. God forbid.
I don't know what you do. I really don't. This one stumped me.
Because, like, you're going to come off as homophobic if you're like, I swear I'm not gay. I didn't fucking mean to do that. Because then
you definitely
like
come across
defensive.
As homophobic if you treat it like the worst thing in the world.
Right, which he kind of is right now, being like, I quickly deleted the account. I don't know what to do. I'm scared that people will find out.
You know, you just don't want to be like, misrepresented. You know, if it's already hard for you to get laid from women, it might be harder if all of your friends assume that you're gay.
But would it be the opposite? If you're gay, would you like want to clear the record that you're not straight?
Yeah, you just don't want to be misrepresented.
So there's no good or bad, you're saying. You just wanted to accurately put it out there that right. you are what you are.
I think that, well, this guy's having like a freak out about it is maybe a little homophobic inherently.
Yeah.
But I think that you don't need to freak out. And maybe you just reach out to that guy and you are like, hey, by the way, we matched on Tinder and that was weird. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm not gay.
This is another thing that I constantly say is like when you make one mistake or one thing that you want to cover up, just like do a shit ton of it. So like you get back on Tinder, you open it up to guys, swipe match, be like, I just got 80 fucking dude matches and some chick matches, and I'm getting messages all over the place. It sort of muddies up the water so that there was not like only one guy who sent one message. It was just like for whatever reason, my account was set to open season, open for business, and I got a shit ton of messages from all sorts of strangers.
Right. So that would require him to re-download Tinder, which maybe he'll be able to see that message.
Yeah, and then you'd be like, oh, that's weird. I don't know why it has me as open for guys and girls. Maybe I said that, like, I was interested in whatever, and that accidentally
put
me
up. But of course I'm not.
I'm not gay is all. Actually, look at my new bio.
I'm not gay is all.
You can clearly see that I'm not gay is all. Also, I'm 5'4". In heels, LOL. I'm not gay. I might be short and mean, but I definitely am not a homosexual. Jesus. All right,
saying it like
Capricorn
that
only.
Why Capricorn only?
I don't know. I believe
this bio's
in the
zodiac. Too long. Your bio is too long. I have a lot of notes on the bio.
Yeah, you just got a machine gun, all sorts of shit. Throw a lot of shit on the wall and see what sticks. Some of it will say you're gay. Some of it not. Can you beat that? Can you beat that advice?
I guess I am going to go back. I'm going to just say, re-download Tinder, see if you could see that message, and then act like adjust from there. And if you can't, then I'm going to change my answer to never say anything ever.
Just assume it didn't happen?
Yeah. Let's try that one.
But then doesn't it seem like a little gay secret? I deleted my Tinder, but now I have one little gay secret out there.
Yeah, but is it...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just don't know if your fear is having, like, people think that you have a gay secret. If like, you doing quote-unquote damage control about it does anything to address it. Yeah. Like, if you match with a guy on Tinder and then you reach out and you're like, ha, I'm not gay. Well, wait, how did you match with your friend?
He said he switched his preferences to men.
Right, but his friend couldn't message him unless he fucking matched him.
Yeah, so he probably swiped him right.
Oh, right. Wait, so what? I see, never mind. I forgot that he wasn't just like accepting like both profiles. He was actively swiping guys right to see if he would get more matches.
Just to see if you're gay hot in addition to straight hot.
Dude, straight up, like it's more embarrassing like what you did than what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
You should just live your life as a gay man instead of this weird little vain boy.
Because it would be much, much better to be a gay man than to be
than
a straight man who opened his profile up to see if gay men found him attractive.
Right. That's just about, you were just, I wasn't gay, I was just getting attaboys.
All right. I wanted to read this email, even though it wasn't a question. It was just a fun story. Four years ago, writes Justin, I was on a train on my way to class, and there was a girl sitting across from me cracking up at her phone for 15 minutes. I couldn't help but notice her amazing smile and laugh. At one point, she tilted her phone just enough to let me know that she was watching Jake and Amir videos, which I also watched. We got off the train at the same stop, and I decided to go for it and talk to her about the one thing we knew we had in common, your videos. Long story short, I got her number, and we set up our first date. We went to Starbucks to get to know each other and really hit it off. This is where the horror story starts.
What?
After our first date, I walked her to a car and gave her a little smooch. She sat down in her car, and I closed the door prematurely. She wasn't completely in the car yet. I didn't think I slammed it very hard, but it was enough to break her foot.
Oh, no.
She called her brother to take her to the hospital and did not respond to any of my many apologies. I kept seeing her, cast crutches and all, on the train in the morning, but she ignored me every time.
That's insane.
Six weeks went by, and she got her cast off and had a change of heart. She gave me another chance. So we went on a second date, on which I ended up with a bloody nose, thanks to her elbow. Despite the rocky start, we stuck it out. And now we're engaged! Without your videos, I never would have talked to her, and we wouldn't have met. Since you started our relationship, I feel like there's one piece of advice I need to ask. She doesn't want to take my last name. Oh, there is a question in here. Yeah, I didn't realize it. She doesn't want to take my last name. Her first name is Kelly, and my last name is Kelly. Of course, you see the predicament.
Are we allowed to say this on the podcast?
I think so. Because we met them in Austin.
Oh.
I think it would be funny as hell, but she doesn't seem to be very professional. She doesn't think it seems very professional. What do? We don't want our poor kids to have an entire name as their last name. Thanks, guys. Love, Justin, Kelly.
We met them in Austin?
Yeah. At least they came up to me. It's like, I was the couple that said we just got engaged because of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So first of all, congrats.
Congrats.
Fun to be tangentially involved in your origin story.
Very, very much so. Try not to die on your wedding day. You two are so accident prone, it seems.
broke her foot and then she broke his nose.
Yeah, and we both broke our necks walking down the aisle.
But at least we don't have the name Kelly Kelly. Of course she can't take your last name.
Yeah, Kelly Kelly's a little much.
Has that ever happened? That must have happened once, right? Like if you take someone's last name and it's the same as your first.
Yeah, my little brother has a friend named John Johnson.
That's close.
Close.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't name your kid that unless you lean into it.
Yes.
Kelly, I guess you can give yourself like a middle name, like a Kellyanne Kelly. It would be kind of fun.
That's kind of cool. But Kelly Kelly is really tough.
Mm-hmm. Especially if your middle name's like Catherine and then your initials are KKK.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Definitely don't do that. Didn't we talk about doing something like just starting a new last name?
Yeah, a new last name together. Maybe Justin.
Yeah, I'm into that shit.
That way it's like Justin.
From Justin to Kelly.
Yeah, and then her name is Kelly Justins.
Nice.
Justin's daughter. All right, that's it. I just want to say shout out to you guys for getting married.
Gracias.
Based on our videos.
Gracias.
I wonder what videos they're watching. Maybe one about me and you getting engaged.
Oh, that could be. We did a gay marriage one, actually.
That's right. Where I say, congrats, we're gay married now.
That's how woke we were from the very get-go.
Yeah.
That we made.
We were cool with it back in 2015. I swear to God. All right, let's answer one last question.
Yes.
This is from a lady. Why don't you give her a name?
Sandra Bullywog.
I like that.
Thank you.
Writes, I'm a girl that loves to fuck around on Tinder. I have absolutely no problem getting right swipes.
I'm serious.
In fact, listen to me. I'm trying to say something. I'm surprised.
You don't ever let me talk.
All you do is do the Got it.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
In
fact, she writes, I'm surprised when it's a swipe right and it's not a match. So I started playing this game where I set my location to different cities just to see how many people I can match with. When they message me, they usually ask or bring it up why I'm so far away. I'll tell them shit like I'm visiting that area next week for work, smiley face, and see how close I can get them to agree to meet me in person without even following up with them. I'll say stuff like I'm packing, I'm at the airport, I just checked into my hotel, etc. Am I a psycho for this? Should I stop? Peace, love, and right swipes, Sandra.
You're a small psycho for this.
She's a bad person, I think.
This is medium psychotic.
She's getting off to lying to people.
Yeah, this is, what is that word? Sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
People call me that sometimes.
That's right.
So I can relate.
But you wouldn't even go out. This is like pure ego boost. It's like, I want to see how excited I can get a guy before telling him that I'm just straight up not there.
This is a lot for me. This is similar to the last question. The other question too, just like fucking with like ego boosting. And it is sociopathic because like you're wasting other people's time.
Yeah.
Like that guy's wasting gay men's time. She's wasting guys in random cities' time.
To make yourself feel good, you just want to see that it's a match. It's like me feeling nice,
me getting that like burst of someone thinking I'm attractive is worth wasting other people's time.
That's right. Maybe there could be a dating app that's just the animation of it's a match. That way you're not actually fucking with anyone, but it's still giving you that small rush of dopamine.
God, that's so funny and true and a little sad. It's just a dating app with the most attractive people. Yeah. You'll never ever, they're all bots.
That's right.
And you swipe them right and it says it's a match.
Yeah, and then they'll even message you a little bit. Yeah. You're a hot little boy. I really wanted to match with you.
And you respond, I am at the airport.
I know that the point of this app is that everyone matches, but I legit like you. Those are the type of people that go to Hooters and are like, the waitress is like really nice to me, actually. I like it. When I go to a strip club, the girls want to dance on my jock.
Yeah, when I hire a high-powered, expensive escort, I get a throaty-ass BJ.
And all I had to do was pay her cash or swipe her right. So I guess the theme of this episode is that people have low self-esteems and they'll do whatever they can take to get that little extra rush.
Yeah, low self-esteem and high standards.
Yeah. So how do you get some ego boosts without swiping or without paying for it?
The question is valid in a way because it's like what kind of rush can I get when the Tinder one doesn't work? Like the standard Tinder one doesn't work for me anymore.
Or you're in a relationship and you can't use a dating app anymore. Like what gets you off? What strokes your ego? And also, do you need your ego stroked anymore? That's, like, do you ever outgrow that?
Here's my thing. This is what she should do. She should be sliding into more people's DMs on Instagram. I think that'll tickle an itch, and you can actually like be flirting with people. Like if you feel like Tinder, you've outgrown Tinder.
Yeah.
Don't like try to step into Tinder in Chicago or something.
Right.
Like what's the next level?
Yeah. But what about for your life? Like once you're in a relationship, once you're married and you have kids, do you still need the ego boost? What kind of person still needs that, man or woman?
I think.
And how do they get it?
You probably still do. Maybe when you have a kid, like you have try to groom them to be a really cool or interesting person, and like that tickles that fancy. You see yourself in your kid.
Oh, like you start taking pride in your offspring.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at this cute baby. Look at this smart toddler. Look at this accomplished fourth grader.
You've got to adjust your point of view a little bit to be like, these are the things that are valuable.
Yeah, because in theory, evolutionarily speaking, it seems like you should only get your ego stroked until you find a mate. And once you have, it's like, okay, I've gotten somebody. I have somebody who's bought into me.
Yeah.
Now,
when you like somebody a lot, then like it only starts to matter to you that your ego gets stroked by them.
Yeah, that they like
they
you.
Get the
That's the
they
only
get,
thing
Yeah,
matters.
They get the primo ego stroking is by this person that I think is awesome. And then I think when that starts to fade away, your sense of like loyalty and camaraderie and like that's when like actual love kicks in.
Oh, so everything before that is fake love.
I guess it's all just some different version of love. But like falling in love is different than like, you know, enduring and like being in love.
Yeah. And then when you're an old person, let's say you're 80 years old.
Well, then there's nothing you can do. You can go on Tinder all you want, but no one's going to fuck you. That's our show.
As we continue this inevitable march towards aging, and it doesn't actually last very long in the grand scheme of things.
We are all going to die.
I, for one,
ashes to ashes.
Already halfway towards senior citizenship, and what do I have to show for it?
Our life is a flash in the pan,
wow.
And your glory years are even flashier than that.
You just exist within a small, small sliver of time. And
life's really only good up until you're 40. Now, here
point,
we go.
What's the point? Wow. Thank
all
you
right.
so much for spending an hour with us every week. That being said, if you have your own questions or theme song submissions,
oh, you're crying.
Write them into
Remember to buy an iClever.
We zoomed out too far. All right, let's get back into it. You're a psycho for this. Stop DMing people. Stop sending Tinder messages.
Yes.
Right?
I would say don't do that.
Don't fuck with people.
Don't fuck with people.
Because they're going to get really excited and then really disappointed.
The next level is like talking to somebody that you actually find super attractive. That's going to be way more satisfying than talking to strangers in strange towns telling them that you're coming to the airport.
You little psycho. That's so hot. All right. Opening theme song was written by Burn the Arson. Closing one is actually... written by some lady named Deborah Daly, who is inspired by Jake's love for his mom. So I made a song about her.
I do love my mom. Wait, this song's about my mom?
Yeah, or it's about your love of your mother.
Wow, I love this already.
Shout out to her brother, Canes Woods, who recently appeared on Colors. I don't know what any of these words mean, people. But maybe you can find them. So thanks to Deborah Daly, thanks to Burn the Arson. Thanks to you guys for coming to our live shows and for listening to our podcast. Once again, we're going to be in New York on April 6th, which is not too long from now.
No.
So, God, it never stops, doesn't it?
No. It really
Until
doesn't.
It all does.
And we zoom back out again.
See you next week.
Laura. Laura Hurwitz. Rick is your baby. Laura, sweet Laura Burwitz. Sweeter with age, going on a podcast and giving us sage advice. Laura Herwitz, Jakey loves you. You know you're his main one. He's got no new friends and you're his day one. You've got two sons and he is your fave one. You've got four daughters and he is your fave one. Laura Herwitz, sweet Laura Herwitz, sweet Laura Herwitz, sweet Laura Herwitz.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.